Our first scripture for this evening is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading verses 20 to chapter 6, 2. As we come into this particular part of the text, we are told and reminded of the fact that God's action in Christ reconciled us to God, and reminded also of the amazing fact that we are given the task of being messengers of that reconciliation. So we begin at verse 20. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain, for he says, at an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. The word of God for the people of God.
The Gospel is from St. Matthew in the 6th chapter, a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is speaking to the gathered crowd concerning almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. And he says, beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. God of grace and God of presence, open us now to your word. Still us from our rushing thoughts and the rush of our days. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
As we come to this Lenten season once again, and as we begin this first day in Lent, this Ash Wednesday, and as we think of that theme of a wake-up call to Lent, and as we share together in reflecting upon the scriptures of this day, there are three different images that come to my mind.
And I got a feeling you're going to share those with us.
You're right. The first image has to do with that first pastoral charge which we were on in Newfoundland in Canada. We hadn't been there very long when we met a couple, Jesse and Vibert, and they became very wonderful friends of ours, and we shared a great deal of time together. And I can remember, as I'm sure you can too, Carolyn, how often Vibert would find himself in some kind of a kerfuffle. He would be there either trying to put a shirt on or to straighten up something in the kitchen, and he would call out, "Jesse, Jesse, I'm in a snarl. Help me out of this snarl." And it seemed as if Vibert was always getting into a snarl.
Now, I think that maybe that story tells us something about what we should be recognizing as we walk through Lent, that we're in a snarl a lot of the time. And I hear these scriptures saying to us, wake up. If you listen to the Joel text, you hear the words. They're not just a gentle invitation. He's saying, repent. He's saying, sound the trumpet. He's saying, this is urgent, and that we need to pay attention to where are we snarled. Are we snarled in our everyday living? Now, we hear some help from the text of Matthew, where Jesus is saying, he gives us what we call a negative example. It's what you shouldn't do, not what you should do. But he tells us about the ones who are not doing what they are supposed to do. And I found them very interesting because I thought they were in a snarl as well. Because he said, don't do like them. Don't wear things to show off that you are repenting. Don't distort your features to show that you are making a good show. Don't do these things for show. And the great tragedy, I think, about that snarl that the Pharisees were in, they didn't recognize it. They didn't recognize they were in a snarl. And I think that's what we have to do, like Vibert did. We have to say, we're in a snarl here. Give us some help. When we put the ashes on our forehead tonight, they will be symbolic of the fact that we do need to repent, that we are in a snarl, and that it's important that we look at those snarls and that we ask for some help.
Well, it sounds like there really is a sound of the trumpet, as Joel said, and a call to all of us to wake up and acknowledge those snarls that are in our lives. Well, the second image which I have is when we went to another pastoral church, and you will remember it was either on the second or third day that we arrived in Bermuda that we were walking along the street, and all of a sudden we saw a house being tented. This is what they called it, being tented. Now, I don't know if they do that down here in Florida as well sometimes. Yes, they do. Okay. Well, we haven't seen it down here. But when we first saw it, we had no idea what it was all about. But we soon discovered that the house was filled with termites. And this was the only way really to exterminate them. You know, at first we thought, well, surely there must be a simpler way than putting this tent all the way around the house. And the people had to move out and so on. We thought that surely they could go inside and just take some kind of a squatter. Well, yeah, a squatter. Well, that's interesting because the termites actually, had a hard time in those Bermudan homes because they were made of Bermudan stone. But inside, of course, as you know, there were all kinds of wooden frameworks, and this is what held the place together. And it was in those areas that the termites were, and they had to fumigate inside to be able to get to the very heart of where the problem was and get rid of, eradicate those termites.
Well, see, I like that story because I like it for two reasons. That first, it does remind us that within our soul, there can be termites that are eating away, and they're sneaky, that we can't see them. No wonder Joel called us to repentance. No wonder Paul says in the Corinthian text, I beg you, be reconciled to God. That in the reconciliation, we can see those termites that are snarling us up, we need to wake up at that, and we need to look at it. And I think maybe that's the hardest part. Any psychologist will tell you that one of the most basic human needs is approval. And we seek approval. And when we look at this idea of snarls within us, we don't want to look at it because we want to be approved. So maybe we're hiding. It's very easy to hide the termites. It's to hide the snarls and not look at them and try to smooth the surface. But all the while we're crumbling. I like that story for that reason. But the second one is I like that idea of tenting. That when we are enveloped with God's love, when we let ourselves be tented with that, because that's what it means to be reconciled to God. It means taking time. We have 40 days to take time to come and say to God, I'm in a snarl. I need your help. And we do need to be reconciled. So let's take some of the time in these 40 days to be honest, to look at the snarls, and to say what we need.
I like on our bulletin for tonight where it says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And that's taken from the psalm for this day. And it gets to the very heart of the matter. We need to go right to the core of our being. And like you say, to eradicate those snarls that are in our lives so that we can get on to be God's people.
But we have to have the courage to look, and sometimes that's not easy. I like what the Scottish poet Robbie Burns says. He says, O for the gift the power he giveth to see ourselves as others see us. And that wakes us up if we think, how do others see us? We can pretend all we want, but do others see us? Do they give us some information we need to know? But more than that, how does God see us? Let's look at how does God see us, because when we are enveloped in that love, when we are tented in that love, the light shines so brightly, we will see where we need to be unsnarled.
Yes, and that brings me along to the third image. And it also has to do with Bermuda. Before we went to Bermuda, we went and visited a friend of ours, a minister friend, who had been in Bermuda several years before. And he was a great help in sharing with us things about Bermuda and things that would be helpful to us as we sought to carry out our ministry there. And I remember in particular him telling us of a story, a true story, a day when he had to go and preach in another pastoral church other than his own. And when he got there, he was in the vestry getting ready for the service, when all of a sudden a little knock came on the door, and he opened the door, and here stood one of the elders of the church. And so he said, "Mr. MacDonald, are you ready to begin the service?" And Fraser said, "Well, yes, I'm just about ready." And the elder said, and he was an elderly man, he said, "Would it be all right if I had a prayer with you before you go in to start the service?" And Fraser said, "Well, that would be a great honor for me if you would do that." And so the elder prayed for God's blessing to be upon the congregation and for God's blessing to be upon Fraser as he led them through the service. And then he went on to say, "Oh God, as Fraser preaches to us this night, may he fade into the background so that we may see Jesus. So that we may see Jesus."
And see, that's why I think Paul is calling us to reconciliation with God. Because we have been given the incredible task of telling people about God's love for us. So we need to disappear. We need to take away the snarls. We need to wipe out ourselves, so to speak, so that people may see in us something of that love that says, "You are unsnarled. You are forgiven. You are my child. And in Christ, you are free."
And so as we come this evening to share in this ritual of the Ash Wednesday service, have you heard the wake-up call? Have you heard the sound of the trumpet? Are you ready to go forward with that sign of the cross upon your forehead? Not to draw attention to yourself, but to go forward with that sign of the cross, indicating what God has done for you and for me in the life and death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may it be such that that sign will not be to draw attention to ourselves, but that we might fade into the background so that others may see Jesus, to the glory of God. Amen. We invite you to take a few moments of silence. You'll find a prayer in your bulletin, and we are to use it as a silent prayer, so we would ask each of you to read through it on your own. Reflect upon the scriptures that have been read and the words that have been spoken this night.
Be my glory, yeah. cross, O Lamb of God, bring it seen before me. Help me live from day to day with its shadow o'er me. Yeah.